Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I say that I am brokenhearted and angry right now. Decades of living in a community where you see how deeply unfair this nation is still to so many people who struggle, who work hard, who do everything right but still find themselves disproportionately with lead in their water, superfunds in their neighborhood, schools that don't serve their genius, healthcare disparities that still affect their body and their well-being. We as a nation must address these persistent inequalities, or we will never fully achieve the strength and the possibility. Hope is the active conviction that despair will not have the last word.
Cory Booker talking about the injustice and inequality that still exists in our country. Cory Booker is still running for president, I think. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything differently. But he is talking about how this is, you know, he's brokenhearted over the injustice and inequality, the lead in people's water and the problems that they face, I guess, essentially because of demographics. So we're going to talk a little bit about Cory Booker, and we're going to talk a little bit about how this conversation has bubbled up to the surface again regarding reparations. Danny Glover testified today in front of Congress, and last Friday when we had Gabe Pfeiffer in here, we pretty much, I would say almost 2 hours of the show talking about this idea of reparations, where it comes from, and what is to be gained by it. And we're going to discuss that here in a little bit as well. Tony's going to update us on the state of the reparation conversation in Washington, D.C. right now. But this definitely lends itself to the 2020 campaign, where these different Democratic candidates are going to be on these social justice issues. It's going to be a huge, huge deal for the Democrats who are running in 2020 on the primary side to make sure that they are adequately explained in their efforts to combat on the behalf of social justice. Cory Booker is one of the leaders of that, as far as I can tell. It seems to me like most of the conversations he's having is in this realm. So another one here. So we'll get to the reparations conversation here in just a minute. I want to take a moment here and get to our guest right now. Illinois Policy Institute staff attorney Miley Smith joins us now. Miley, thanks for coming on with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you a bit about the deal that Governor Pritzker, on behalf of the state of Illinois, has made with Illinois' largest union, AFSCME. And how is this deal setting itself up for the Illinois taxpayer?
Well, the new AFSCME contract for state workers was leaked last week. We don't know the full contract yet, but some of those provisions were leaked. And it's clearly, from what we can see so far, not fair to the taxpayers. And even by AFSCME's own standards, it's not fair to its lower paid members. You know, just starting with the taxpayers, top line, it's going to cost the taxpayers over $3.6 billion. And this is in a state that has already cash strapped, and we have seen record spending budget and capital plans. This is going to hurt the taxpayers.
So what kind of deal is Governor Pritzker looking to cut with this union group, and how will it benefit them and hurt the taxpayers in its midst?
Well, we know that from what was leaked, there are 11.5% pay increases over 4 years. Ooh. In addition, In addition, each of the workers represented by AFSCME, which is around 38,000 people, will get a $2,500 bonus. They will get a continued platinum level health insurance with taxpayers subsidizing 80% of the cost. And they'll also continue to get those step increases, which are also raises, but they're built into the contract in a separate way that they increase with each year or different step of classification.
You know, it's interesting to listen to the governor and these Democrats who run the state talk about how the progressive tax, they call it the fair tax, and they suggest that this is going to, you know, it's going to be a blow that the super wealthy are going to have to take, but it's what's equitable for the people on the lower end of the spectrum. They're the champion of the little guy. Is that still the case here in Governor Pritzker's efforts to try to work
with you? That's the irony of this contract, that it's actually under AFSCME's fairness standards, not fair to its lower paid members. So, for example, base salary, the increase is a flat increase. So that means not every worker is going to be getting the same raise. So a physician specialist, and I'm pulling these numbers from numbers we obtained via FOIA previously, so a physician specialist in the Department of Human Services could be making over $147,000 a year. That physician would see his salary increase by over $17,000 over the next, you know, over the course of the contract. But if you look at a correctional officer who's making under $50,000, like $48,000, that worker would only see a $5,800 raise over the same amount of time. And we're not saying that a flat percentage system is wrong, but this contrast demonstrates AFSCME's hypocrisy. It's changing its fairness standard to benefit itself in different contexts.
Yeah, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth, politically speaking, when you want to take money away from the wealthiest people in a progressive income tax implication that the Illinois state voters will have an opportunity to weigh in on the November 2020 ballot, and say, you know, we need to disproportionately take money percentage wise out of the higher earners paycheck. But then in this situation here, we're going to disproportionately benefit those higher earners with raises.
Right.
It's like, which one is it? You need to be straight with
me. And they do the same thing with health insurance. So the less you make, the greater, for state workers, the less a state worker makes, the greater percentage of his or her income goes toward covering health insurance costs. So for example, if a worker makes $30,200, which is the break off for one of the categories, about 2.7% of their income would be going toward health insurance. But in that same health system, if a worker makes over $125,000 and they make just $1 over that, 2.2% goes toward their health insurance. So you could see that, and that's the same for whatever health plan the percentages change, but whatever health plan they pick, the lower paid members are paying a greater percentage of their income toward health insurance.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we need to be paying attention to and keep our eye on. And Illinois Policy is doing a great job of doing that. Miley Smith with the Illinois Policy Institute, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm going to encourage people to go to illinoispolicy.org to find out more about this, because we know you guys will be on it all the time.
We will. Yeah, that's right.
Yep, thank you, Miley.
For having me.
Yep, absolutely. Uh-huh. Appreciate you coming on here today. This is just where it benefits to be a friend of the king in the state of Illinois. We're pretty used to that. We're sitting in here and Fox News is covering what they have as their lower third headline here. Historic hearing on slavery reparations. And Tony's been looking into this a little bit. We heard at the beginning of this segment from Cory Booker talking about being brokenhearted over the injustice and inequality that certain Americans are experiencing here. How has this conversation taken shape today and in the days leading up to it?
Yeah, so there has been, as you mentioned, a debate, the subject of a House Judiciary Committee hearing today, as Democrats called for measures to address what they call America's original sin, slavery. And Republicans have described such payments as almost certainly unconstitutional. So Democrats are saying that the government owes the descendants of slaves these reparations, and Republicans are saying that to do something like that is almost certainly unconstitutional. The bill in the Congress is H.R. 40, is a bill by Representative Sheila Jackson Lee out of Texas to set up a commission to study and develop a response to the question of reparations for slavery. Democrats such as former President Barack Obama and 2016 presidential candidate Hillary Clinton opposed such a costly plan in the past, but amid a steady shift in the party to the left, the issue has been given new life with endorsements from 2020 hopefuls and others through details. Though details remain vague as to what form of reparations there should be, which estimates for a controversial direct payment to slave descendants running into the trillions. So Sheila Jackson Lee has this plan in the Congress. Cory Booker, who, as you just mentioned, has presented a similar bill in the Senate. Both of them say that obviously we're not going to ask Americans individually to go and write checks. We're going to figure out a way for the federal government to pay these reparations to the descendants of slaves.
Have there been any mechanics discussed on who gets what and how?
No, not details. No, none of those details have been laid out by either one of these bills, because both of them are, that is what the bills are being created for, to explore the issue and figure out a way to pay and to pay these reparations and how much they should be. So that's what the committee is supposed to figure that stuff out. That's what this
I have
is
so many questions.
Yeah, because there are.
Do you
lots.
Have to prove that you're a descendant of a slave?
Great question.
How? Do you have to be black?
And how do you do that?
Mm-hmm. If you can prove you're the descendant of a slave who was white, lots of people like to bring up the Irish in America and what they had to deal with. If you don't have to prove that you're a slave, then how could you possibly determine who gets it and who doesn't get it, unless you're specifically basing it on skin color, which would apparently be racist because there were white people who were slaves. How much do you get? How much money is somebody willing to accept to never have?
Yeah, what's the limit?
You know, like what is slavery and your ability to talk about slavery as the original sin of the United States? What amount of money would purchase your forgiveness for that?
And what taxes are going to be used, or what?
Where does the money come from?
Where does the money come from? And
if it's general federal money that is used, that money is paid by a lot of people who have been descendants of slaves, because we tax people based on income.
And what about the people that have come here in the last 150 years since slavery has been illegal, and maybe your family just came over in the early 1900s or the mid 1900s, and
or in 2016
and your family has no connection to any part of American history where slavery was a thing.
It's a tangled
web. Why are your taxes going towards paying something that you had nothing to do with?
And the overarching conversation,
lots of those type of questions.
Or the overarching question that I have is, does this effort solve a problem?
And, okay, if it does, if reparations were to be paid, are we all supposed to go, okay, there's no more racism in America?
Yeah.
We're all square here.
We did this thing,
what?
But it's good. We took care of it. We wrote a check.
That is not how that works.
That's not how it works at all.
That's not how you solve a problem. That's not how you solve an issue.
It's also a slippery slope. It is the biggest boulder you could push off the cliff to get things rolling. But I will remind you, the black men had the right to vote a long time before any women had the right to vote. So the way we have chosen to value and devalue humans over the course of American history and global history, it's not something that one day you can just imagine isn't an issue and isn't an indicator of what we need to know going forward about things we should never do again. It to suggest that there is a dollar amount, especially coming from the left side of the aisle, to suggest that money can solve this problem, that blows my mind. And to think that there is a dollar amount, I mean, you listen to money and it, the conversations about money coming from the left, and money is supposed to be an evil thing. Unless those politicians are the ones put in charge of it. All. That's called socialism. But to suggest that the original sin of the United States of America is its usage of slavery, that it could be the forgiveness for that could be purchased, I don't think we're paying attention exactly to what slavery actually was, what it actually did, and what actually forgiveness can do in your heart, not from your checkbook. It blows my mind. Let's talk about it when we come back. 314-241-9797. Y'all want to talk about it because lines look like they're full. However, I will say if somebody drops off over the break, you need to be there to steal that line. And we'll get to phone calls here as soon as we return in 4 minutes. 314-241-9797. If you want to grab a line, if it opens up, we'd love to have you. Be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, you really started something here. In our new phone system, I now know that we have 6 lines instead of 5 because they're full.
That's a new thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's
one more phone. Yeah.
One more opportunity to speak with you. We were talking about reparations, and Tony set the table for us a little bit before about what's taking place right now in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You
want to? There's a hearing going on right now.
Brief it once again.
Yeah, the quickest way to explain it is there's a hearing happening right now in Congress about whether or not a bill should pass through the House Judiciary Committee that would set up a committee that would study how reparations would be paid in the United States.
Yeah.
And it's Sheila Jackson Lee is a congresswoman from Texas. It's her bill in the Congress. Cory Booker has a very similar bill that he is trying to push in the Senate. And obviously there is a lot of there's a lot of passionate debate on whether or not this is something that
directly
should go forward.
Tied to slavery, correct?
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea, is pay reparations today
to the descendants
of slaves.
Of slaves.
The original sin, as it has been referred to, slavery in America. So I know a lot of you want to get on here and talk about that, and I'm going to get to all of you, 314-241-9797. If you would like to join us as soon as a line opens up, let's get to John's phone call first. Thanks for calling, John.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
I have a lot of questions on this reparations deal.
Yes, yeah, so do we.
First of all, how many generations does this thing cover?
That's true. Is it just living people? Yeah.
Yeah. Second of all, how is this going to be paid when we're already taxed enough anyway? I think, Annie, that this is a plot being hatched right now to distract the African-American vote in this upcoming election. I really do.
Well, you know, that's an interesting perspective, John. Thank you for calling the show. I would say that anybody who is African-American who hears the word reparation, I would put them in the same category as anybody who is white. If you happen to hear that there was going to be some sort of payment, entitlement, reparation, handout, whichever word anybody individually wants to use for it, anybody who would show up and put their hand out and be like, yes, just give me whatever. None of those people are going to be like adequately considering this a way to repair the original sin, as they're referring to it, of the United States of America, of slavery. It's not going to make it better. It's not going to make it go away. It's not going to make it not happen. The number one thing we need to make sure we do is that we educate our public as we raise children to understand what actually happened in this country to make sure that they don't do it again.
Learn from it.
Yes. It's bad. It's awful. You need to know about it. You need to learn what happened, and you need to know how bad it was to make sure that you don't allow history to repeat itself out of ignorance. But to suggest that it, at as bad as it was to me, that there would be some sort of check that you could write that somebody else is going to have to pay for, I'm not so sure that I'm buying in on that. Let's get to Dave's call here. Dave, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, Dave.
Question. A lot of slaves were rounded up by Arab slave traders. Are the Democrats going to push the Arabs to contribute?
No. I mean, they won't care. Slavery is, thanks for the call, Dave, slavery is something that has existed all over the world. We learned slavery when we settled this country, and then we built an agricultural industry on the backs of slaves and became a very successful, wealthy nation. You know, when we had Gabe Pfeiffer in, and Tony, I was bummed that you missed it because you would have added to that conversation a lot. We'll have to do it again with Gabe soon. But, you know, the discussion of how our country has grown in its infancy because of slave labor, and knowing that our biggest industry was an agricultural industry, and that would not have been able to be nearly as successful without the use of slavery, makes me look at that. And the question that I ask immediately is, how unfair that the people who helped make that industry be so successful and lucrative did not get to benefit from the spoils of said industry. They were slaves. So you would think that it would be obvious that when slaves were freed, that we would do something for those immediate human beings who were now free of their previous lives. And you can't just go, all right, go be productive, go do that, go do what everybody else does, everything's equal, because that takes time. And they would have no historical inheritance of land or of income or of property or, you know, anything like the people who weren't slaves would have. So I can understand reparations in that sense. If you go back and look at your history, you'll realize it was always the Southern Democrats who were always pushing against that. It was always, you know, yeah, we'll make them equal, but we're going to put blacks over here and whites over there. It was this idea, and the Jim Crow laws all came out of Southern Democratic policies to combat the idea of true equality between all American citizens. So when you want to thrust forward into 2019 and suggest that the reparation conversation needs to be picked back up again now, and you look back to when it could have been had and could have been enforced in a really constructive way, like when the slaves were freed, you can't do that in 2019 and have it be the same conversation at all. It's a political fishhook in the pond trying to snipe one voter out of the water after another. And people know that, and people see that. I'm going to be interested to see how far this conversation is going to get in Washington, D.C. I mean, the House is going to entertain it.
The House will probably pass it.
And then it won't be taken up in the Senate. And if President Trump is smart, I think he won't address it. He'll let his surrogates do that. 314-241-9797. These phones. Let's see here. Let's go to Tim. Tim, thank you for calling.
Yeah, the only thing the Democrats have to run on is the race card. They can't run on the economy. They can't run on the wall. They can't run on anything because Trump is killing it. So the only thing they're trying to do, and I don't think they really want the reparations, I think they're just trying to promote and continue racism in the country because that's all they have. I don't think they expect anybody to be paying for it. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think that's their ploy, is to continue to pit each one against the other. And it has nothing to do with really payback.
Yeah, you know, Tim, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. He brings up a good point that the conversation in and of itself is valuable. politically to Democrats. It's just like the Mueller investigation was valuable. As long as there was an investigation into whether or not President Trump colluded with Russia, President Trump colluded with Russia, according to many, many people. Think about how we had those discussions going into the 2018 election and how that might have affected people in wanting to create a check and a balance on President Trump or to potentially vote to put somebody in office in the House of Representatives that would vote to impeach the president because he stole an election with the help of Vladimir Putin in Russia. It didn't happen. That's not important, though, on a political scale, if it helps him win votes at the end of the day. So to Tim's point, the conversation does become valuable, and many times that's why it's continued to be had. Scott, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Andy, I just wanted to bring up, it is a political value that they're working the angle on here, because if you look at history, which isn't even taught in schools anymore, people would understand that there was something tried called 40 acres and a mule when there have been previous situations where Native Americans have sought and got reparations through even casino usage and things like that. And none of that has helped. The real reparation is coming from the Republican Party in the form of tax breaks, record low unemployment among African Americans, repealing these laws who have caused improper incarceration based on these, even down to the local level where the ticketing that's going on in these smaller cities in St. Louis have now got it where they're saying, if you can't afford your bond, you can get out. But the reparations is not the answer. We have to attack it like Trump is, by trying to uplift or give somebody a hand up, not a handout.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you know, when you talk about an economy that is soaring, it does provide opportunity for anybody who wants to take that opportunity and run with it. And if we have a cultural disparity in how people benefit from that equal opportunity, is it something to look at and consider on a personal human-to-human level? Every single day. Every day. If you find yourself acting on prejudice, you've got some work to do. We've all got work to do in areas of our lives. To think that the government is going to come in and solve that problem, I'm sorry. That's not how any of this works. Let's get to David's call here real quick. David, thanks for calling the show.
Thank you. My comment is that as to reparations, the problem is not the problem. It's a matter of a lack of money, but a lack of empathy. And I would reference two really cataclysmic books in that regard, one by Douglas Blackman, who wrote Slavery by Another Name, and a second by Thomas Sowell, who wrote White Liberals and Black Rednecks. I'm also very well connected. I know this sounds like a racist comment. I have lifelong friends from 45, 50 years, my Black brothers, and I think the problem is a lack of owning the horror of what happened. That's it.
Thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. I think that we have a hard time discussing the topic because you don't want to say anything that is going to come out not the way you intended it. And if you said it, I know every time I engage in a conversation like that here, once I've said it, if it's out of my mouth and it's not how I intended, or there have been times where I've said things and I've gone back and like thought about them and I'm like, I wonder if it was heard a different way. It's a dangerous thing to get involved in, but we have to talk about it if we are going to address it. And while we are discussing reparations in Congress, I think it's an important conversation for us to have here. We'll continue that in just a couple minutes. We've got full phones right now. If somebody drops off over the break, you can give us a call at 314-241-9797. I'll get to your phone calls here in a second. We'll get through as many as we can. We'll keep them quick. And finish up the show with this conversation in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We passed groundbreaking criminal
justice reform. We ended the Clinton-era crime policies that unfairly affected the African-American community. So unfair. We're fighting against the same far-left politicians that ravaged our great cities and crushed the dreams of African-American middle class. The same people who threw open our borders and allowed drugs, gangs, and illegal labor to devastate our poorest American communities. You know that.
That's from President last night in Orlando at his reelection kickoff campaign rally, talking about the minorities in this country and what he hopes to do and what he has done for communities of all kinds of individuals up to this point. It just is not... The conversation we've been having is the reparations conversation, and when we engage in it, there are questions beget more questions. And the idea that we would be paying reparations and connections to people who were the descendants of slaves, just the implementation, even if we set aside the should we or shouldn't we, if we should, how? How do you determine what? It just... It's more opportunity for government to swoop in and try to save the day and solve a problem when the government swooping in to save the day and solve the problem very, very rarely actually solves the problem. 314-241-9797 if you would like to join us. Scott, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, so I got kind of like three things on it. Like, for one, how do they determine who really owes, as far as does everybody have to get a genealogy to see what percentage of ancestor was slave owner? Mm. And then do you also maybe get a little benefit from it if your ancestors helped free the slaves? And then the last thing is, what about the African-American families that are descendants of slave owners themselves? So the black slave owners that were in the South, like New Orleans.
Yeah, that becomes complicated, I would think. I don't know if it's a wash or what. Yeah, good point, Scott. Thank you for calling in. Like I said, the questions begin to mount awfully quickly regarding how this would even possibly be implemented. And then the question that I feel is the umbrella over the entire conversation is there really a check that can forgive the sin of slavery in this country? Or is the best thing that we can do as a country to continue to work to combat anything like that ever happening again in the United States of America and making sure that we treat each other equally and fairly on a human-to-human level? I mean, it is possible to have problems in our country that exist, wholeheartedly, admittedly exist, where the solution is in humanity, not in government legislation and regulation, where they have to take something from somebody to equify it, is that a word, with somebody else. If it's not, it needs to be. 314-241-9797. Ben, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, let's assume that they do decide on a monetary reparation, which, like you said, I don't think is the best way to go about it. But one possible way to pay for it would be to whoever they choose or decide is it owed to, don't make them pay taxes for the next 1-5 years, whatever. That way the government doesn't have to find a way to pay them back.
Hmm. Yeah, like a tax credit. Ben, thank you for the call. I was thinking that before, like maybe it becomes something that shakes out when you file for taxes. I mean, it's not like I'm saying this from a thought experiment of how would this even work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with this legislature for sure. It's certainly not going to happen with this president. And he is doing what he can to increase opportunity for all Americans without saying, I want to collect this specific kind of person and throw them this bone here, for a political gain. 314-241-9797. I will go to Ken. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Hey, if the object of reparations is to repair and make things whole again, then shouldn't one of the tenants, if you take the money, be that you also get one-way passage back to wherever you were from when you were taken into slavery?
I would say absolutely not. I mean, it's no. I just don't even like that. To think about this as a political issue and to consider the fact that we do have a disparity in our country. We talked about this with Gabe, and I would really encourage you, if you missed the conversation on Friday, if you subscribe to our podcast, it's on iTunes, it's on radio.com, you can listen to us there, and you get these, you get the daily podcasts, and you also get the interviews that we do separately. You get to hear Gabe Pfeiffer talking about this, and you get to understand from his perspective how he sees this issue, and understand that the disparity between cultures does exist. I know that we are free people, but to suggest that if you look statistically at different cultures that we are all equitable on some chart, on an economic chart, that's not reality. And when you ask yourself why that is, there are a host of reasons why that is. I would venture to say that if you look at one of the most consistent things in impoverished minority communities across the country, you see the same type of governmental leadership in most of, if not all of those different locations. And the crazy thing to me is that those campaigns are won time after time after time by Democratic politicians suggesting that they are the solution to the problem that the communities face. Yet they've had decades of Democratic Party control over these areas. And in doing so, they have not fixed anything. It's gotten worse. You know, when Cory Booker makes that comment in that statement that we played about, you know, still having lead in their water, it's definitely a Detroit reference. Look at the leadership of Detroit. Look at Baltimore. Look at St. Louis. Look at California. You look at the epidemic of homelessness that is taking place in California. It's all colors of people. I assume that the homeless white people matter, too. I hope that they do. But the Democratic control of these areas pretty much guarantees a certain quality of life for these individuals. Nothing changes. When the economy grows and expands and people have more access to opportunity to provide for themselves and live independently, I think that that is exactly what we need to do and to work on. Let's get to Diane's call here. Diane, thanks for calling the show.
Oh, you're welcome, Annie. I listen to you all the time. And listen, I just have a few things to say here. I'm an ex-police officer here in St. Louis, and I'm telling you right now, you can go over the slavery route, but then let's go with the Irish coming over. They were persecuted. Let's go with the Native Americans. If you can't pay out to fix the problem of what we did back then, that was then. It's history. You can't change history by changing a statue, but you can move forward and change history by changing our minds and working together, and not saying one is right or one is wrong. Work together, agree to disagree, and fix the problem. But you're right. Right now, the government is the problem. And what you just said, here in St. Louis, Detroit, okay, the Democrats have run it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not working. So how about them get their heads out of their and just say, hey, we're not doing it right, and okay, we need some help. Give me some other ideas. I want to listen to another option, another idea, instead of coming up with socialism, because I gave birth to my son in England and both of us damn near died. I lived in England. I lived in that medical system. And when someone tells you this is a steak, when you know it's a cheeseburger and they're trying to shove that down you, this country is not going to like that.
Yeah.
They're not going to stand for that. But yeah. Honestly, I was told my very first day going to a doctor in England, I was told to put a potato in my cupboard, cut half, put half in my cupboard, put half in my garden. When half in my cupboard drew heads, I would be okay. I looked at him like he was out of his mind.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
I was told that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was in a little village in England. I was told that.
Wow.
That's what we want here. We don't know what we're getting. We don't know what we're asking for until we get it, and it's going to be too late.
Diane,
so everyone needs to vote Trump.
Yeah. Diane, great phone call. You're spot on. What a good phone call to end this conversation on before we turn it over to Glover. I mean, I just want to stress at the end of this conversation here that the idea of a disparity culturally amongst us humans can exist without having to say also that we need to support some far overreaching governmental program to quote unquote solve it, because the government very rarely solves problems. Thanks for listening today. The podcast at radio.com or wherever you get podcasts. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.